Our Old Testament reading this morning is the 12th chapter of Isaiah. You will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth, shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great is your midst in the Holy One of Israel. Our New Testament reading this morning is found in the book of Luke, 21st chapter, verses 13. This will give you an opportunity to testify. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A country doctor was walking along the road, and he fell into a deep well. Now, before you start thinking, oh, that's too bad, how sad. Well, perhaps that doctor should have attended to the sick and left the well alone. That's an adapted joke from my favorite Christmas movie, White Christmas. But what did the man, or why? Why did the man fall into the well? He couldn't see that well. Oh, I think that one even gets rejected as a dad joke. Well, what can you do when you have water in your well, but the pump is not deep enough to draw it up? That was not a joke. That's the beginning of the sermon. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation, says the prophet Isaiah. And this verse is a phrase of prophetic, poetic power filled with happiness, comfort, and security. Now, in ancient Israel, there were only two types of wells, and wells were very important for the survival of all of the people. I mean, having a well or a cistern in your own courtyard was a pipe dream for most Israelites. Indeed, many towns only had one well to serve the inhabitants, and it was often outside the city gates. And so as we dig into this passage from Isaiah, we see it begins with a look of types of wells, and then moves to the question of depth, and concludes with a discussion of bucket problems. Well, the two most common types of wells are drilled and dug wells. People who need a well today usually have it drilled with a cable tool or a rotary drilling device. But those were not possible until the modern era, so wells were dug by hand. And many were lined with stones, bricks, or tile, or other material to keep it from collapsing. Dug wells are vulnerable to surface contamination, and they also might go dry during periods of drought if the water table drops below the well bottom. I mean, just having water in the ancient world was a huge asset. If an enemy could control the water supply, they could lay siege to your city and soon claim victory. So it's no surprise that a city valued and guarded its water supply regardless of the depth of the well. But the depth of one's well is important. And here in this passage from Isaiah, depth is a metaphor for the spiritual wellness and health of the soul. The wells in our text in Isaiah must be deep. This is implied by the joyous gratitude expressed in verses 4 to 6. And you will say on that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Now let's face it, if you had wells that were giving you clean and pure water, you'd probably be singing with joy too. And if we apply this to our spiritual lives, going deep is something that we would prefer to do. We want to be thought of as deep people. We want people to think of us as having a deep faith. A shallow well is not what we are looking for. Shallow and wide is not good. Deep and narrow is better. Kind of reminds me of that old camp song, you know, deep and wide, deep and wide. Anyway, deep is better than shallow. And to describe someone as shallow is not a compliment. I mean, none of us want to be thought of as shallow. How do you know if you're a shallow person? Well, according to a conscious rethink blog, you might be shallow if you think appearance is everything, if you think status is more important than people, if you bail on a commitment if something better comes along, if you do a lot of trash talking and gossip, you're into your toys and stuff, and you are super into selfies, or you're constantly seeking validation, or you won't commit unless you see how it benefits you, you have trouble dealing with serious stuff, you are into superficial things, are materialistic, you don't like listening, and in fact, you're a terrible listener. You love the limelight, and you don't know the meaning of self-sacrifice. Paul complains that the Corinthian churches, or the Corinthian Christians, should be ready for the meat of the word. But unfortunately, they can only be fed the milk of the word. And he says, I feed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you. Now, if you switch that metaphor from milk and meat to shallow and deep water, you can understand that for the apostle, jealousy and quarreling are signs of a troubling, shallow spirituality. Those who have dug deep wells are those who are mature in their faith and who have trained to distinguish good from evil. As followers of Christ, we want to be service-oriented, but sometimes selfishness gets in the way. We want to look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others. And then bucket problems get in the way. Sometimes we might think our spiritual life has run dry. The bucket's empty. Maybe the well is too. The well is out of water. It's dried up. There are no more reserves. We're done. Toast. Possibly the water is still there, but we lack the pump or the proper bucket to bring the water to the surface so that our thirst can be quenched. Either the pump is not deep enough, or we haven't enough rope on the bucket to get it down to water level. And today's reading promises that with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And this verse implies that we have the means to withdraw the water. And we can do it through prayer, through continuous in-depth Bible study, reaching out to those who are in need, or those who need someone to listen to, or those who feel they are not seen or heard. By putting our faith into action. We must continually be working to replenish our water supply, to make sure our rope is long enough and have a bucket that enables us to fulfill our needs. When you have a well plus water in the well and a means to withdraw the water from the well, voila, you have joy. And with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.